Amen. Matthew 13, could you stand for the reading of God's word? Only have two verses to read. And some of the things that Christ wanted to get across, he gave two parables, so we won't be covering both of those. But here's another instance of a seed parable that Jesus uses to get across the truth of what happens in his kingdom. Verse 31, and another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and it becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Amen. The verse 31 talks about a grain of a mustard seed. Verse 32 says it becometh a tree. I want to preach this morning on the mustard miracle. The mustard miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the work of God, he may begin a work this morning, but the work of God may begin very so small, but if it's allowed to grow, it'll become a tremendous thing. God may just touch you, it seems like, just a little bit this morning, but if you'd allow God to continue, that thing would blossom in your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, help us this morning. Accomplish what you desire to accomplish through your word, Lord. We come in from every walk of life, every type of job and neighborhood and situation, every kind of problem, Lord. But I pray you would take through the word, that the voice of your spirit would be heard and you would minister to needs. Shut up my heart to the truth from every distraction. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The prior week, before preparing for this, I had known for sure that this would be the parable I would get into, but I began to think about two things that just dovetails with Christ's parable. The first of those, I was doing some, don't ask me why, but I was doing some reading on bamboo. That's a phenomenal plant. Did you know there has been species of bamboo that they have observed to grow 2 inches in an hour? Aren't you glad your kids don't grow that rapidly? You never could keep them in clothes or shoes. 2 inches an hour. In fact, there is one species of bamboo, they observed it, and it grew 150 feet tall, 14 inches in diameter, weighed 990 pounds, and grew to that size in 2 months. That's some real growing. The second thing that I had been reading about and thinking about was the redwoods. How many has either seen the coastal redwoods or the sequoias in California? All right. Those things are big. They're mammoth. I remember standing there at, I believe they called it Big Tree on the coast, 305 feet tall, 21 feet diameter. That's pretty big. Let me show you what a redwood tree comes from. Let me show you a redwood seed. There it is on that guy's finger. From that comes these massive trees. They have those that they've cut out the bottom and have driven a car through. When I was in one of the national parks in the mountains there, they had one that had fallen down years ago when they were doing their lumbery business there. And they had literally carved it into the cafeteria. All the way through the middle was a table. On each side was a bench. That's a big tree, and it came from that little seed. Hallelujah. Now, here's the amazing thing. God designed all that to happen physically. But the growth that God does physically, he can do spiritually as well. How many believes if God can give this type of physical growth, He could give that type of spiritual growth in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives? Hallelujah. I'll just put it this way. Our God is a God of growth. Satan is all about death and the destruction of the soul of man. But our God is about life and growth in the soul of man. You know, we're living in a world that'll tell you if you've got problems, if you're messed up, if you've got difficulties, if there's things wrong with you, you're just stuck with it. That's just the way you are. That's just the way things are. You're just going to be that way. I'll say, no. No, not with God. However we are, God can put life, the seed of life, into our heart. He can germinate that and cause that to grow until we're completely different. We're completely changed. We have a modern church world that will say, whatever you have inside, just develop that. Develop your own potential. I know there's a little truth to that, but I'm telling you, I don't want just what I got to work with. I want God to give me what He has and put it in my heart. I don't want just what I have to grow. I want what God has to give me to grow. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that He will do that. I want to preach this morning that with God, there's always the possibility of growth. There's always the possibility of growth because our God is a God of life. Amen. I'm telling you, with God, you can grow. Your hope can grow. Your joy can grow. Your peace can grow. Your potential can grow. Your marriage can grow. Hallelujah. Everything about your life can grow. Your dreams can grow. Amen. Because our God is a God of growth. If you see death setting in, that enemy's been at work. But if you see life and growth, you see someone that's opened up their life to the moving and the working of God, your faith can grow this morning. Hallelujah. Your hope can grow this morning. Our God is a God of growth. Amen. As we've been doing, let's look at this parable. What is going on? Why did Jesus share this parable? Amen. Well, there was two folks, groups of folks that were upset with Jesus. It hadn't come out so much yet, but the disciples were getting disappointed on how slow things were going. They expect Christ, they would follow Him. Christ would throw off the yoke of Rome, run the armies of Rome out of Palestine, set up His kingdom. The people would flock to Christ and they would rule with Him in a massive kingdom, an emperor on earth. But as the disciples followed Jesus, He was, yes, He was opening blinded eyes, but He was also, amen, helping a woman of ill repute. He was also going to the house of a tax collector. They were disappointed on how slowly things were going with Christ. They heard the criticism that was growing against Jesus. They saw the animosity that was growing against Christ. And instead of there being the movement they expected that would become a full-blown revolution. Instead of that, even they were getting conflict from the crowd and things just weren't snapping. The other group of people, amen, that had it in for Christ were His critics. Amen. They looked at Christ. They looked at those men and women that were following Jesus and they had nothing but criticism. They said, what a motley crew. I mean, look at that bunch that follows Jesus. Are those the only people He can attract? They don't amount to much. His people don't amount to much. His movement doesn't amount to much. Look who's following Jesus. Why, it's old fishermen and it's tax collectors and it's women and it's the poor and it's the outcast and it's the low downs, the low class. Amen. How can that group ever amount to anything? Oh, that's what Jesus is answering. Both the disciples are wondering and His critics are wondering, how could His message, how could the man, how could His following ever amount to anything? And that's when Jesus begins to speak. He said, you've judged things too quickly. You've judged things too rapidly. Even you're saying, look how insignificant this movement is. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, it's like the seed, a grain of a mustard seed. It looks so tiny. You look at my group of disciples and you say, they're so tiny. But you wait just a little bit. Our God is going to bring growth to that thing. And from that little seed of my followers, it's going to come a massive movement that's going to influence and span the globe. Hallelujah. He's the God of growth. Amen. I the whole time I was preparing this, and if I was a singer, I'd burst into it right now. But the whole time I was preparing this, and those of you that's heard him, you know what I'm talking about. I kept thinking about Brother Stoner, who just went to be with the Lord, bursting out and singing, "Little as much if God is in it." Oh, if we get a hold of that this morning. How do you say, "I don't have much of a start"? Little as much if God is in it. I don't seem to have made much progress. Little as much if God is in it. I don't seem to have much faith. Little as much if God is in it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. What is the earthly illustration? Look at verse 31 again with me. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. You've got to read the whole parable. It's not that the kingdom of God is like just the seed. It's like the whole process of taking the very small seed and planting it, and that seed growing into a large plant. The kingdom of God's not just like the seed. It's like that whole process of going from a little seed to a huge plant that the birds lodge in its branches. And so it's not about the seed. It's about the growth that comes from and out of the seed. Verse 32, it's the least of all seeds. The least of all seeds. Now, you always got critics of Christ, and you've got critics of the Bible. And they would say, "Look here, people preach that Jesus is the all-knowing God, but he said the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. But we know from esteemed science that there are smaller seeds than a mustard seed." They're wrong in their criticism. They're right in their science. The cypress seed is smaller than the mustard seed. But they're wrong on 2 points. Number one, Jesus wasn't talking about just all the seeds of the world. He was talking about seeds that those people planted in their gardens and in their fields. And in their gardens and in their fields, the least seed, the smallest seed, was the mustard seed. That was the small. They were wrong on a second point. Amen. Let me go ahead and show you that. You got the picture of the mustard seed, brother? I had it called for a little later. There it is. That's the mustard seed. They're wrong on the second point because that appears to be a singular seed. It's called a singular seed. But if you would crush that, you would discover that it's actually a seed pod, and the seeds are actually smaller inside of that thing. So they're wrong on 2 points. But Jesus was talking about the seeds they were accustomed to planting in their gardens. Any palace any of that time, that was their common knowledge. The smallest seed we bring to the field to plant is a mustard seed. And so the critics aren't wrong. Amen. They're holding Christ to a wrong type of statement here. But it is the least of seeds that they planted. But the point Christ made, it's the smallest seed that you plant. But when you plant it in your field, it becometh a tree. Now here's the second point the critics like to step forward, and they like to say Christ is wrong again. He said that the mustard seed was a tree. But number one, he did not say it was a tree. He said it becometh a tree. He was not talking. Jesus did not believe that that mustard seed literally crossed species and became a tree. He knew a mustard was an herb. I mean, he's a God that created it all. But notice what he says, it becometh a tree. In other words, not in nature, but in function. It begins to function as a tree. That herb becomes so large that it becomes a tree to any bird that would build its nest there. And so it becometh a tree. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you something. I'm not a tree either, but I can become a tree like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in due season. Hallelujah. It becometh a tree. The birds lodge in the branches thereof. And so this black mustard seed becomes a light to function as a tree. We were somewhere a while back, and I put my hat on it, and I said, "There's a good thing there's a hat tree here." And Andrew looked and said, "That's not a tree, Daddy." Amen. It was a hat tree, a coat tree. You may not call them that anymore, but that's what they are. In other words, it functions as a tree. Jesus, the Creator, knew that mustard was an herb, and so his critics are wrong. He was simply saying that herb gets so large, it functions as a tree. That's the next point. So that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. He's not just making a point of how big it got. It got big enough so a bird can build a nest there. His point is the birds got benefit from it. They got protection. They got provision. They had a place to build their nest. And it all started with something as small as a mustard seed. I'm telling you, everything God does, it benefits. Everything God does, it blesses. Hallelujah. Amen. Let God move in your life. It'll not only bless you, it'll bless your family. It'll bless your neighborhood. Anything God does in you, it'll grow to the point it'll bless someone else. That's what Jesus is saying. Amen. The shoot right after germination is vulnerable, seemingly insignificant. It doesn't look like much. It seems to serve no purpose. But wait, let it grow. It'll become something of benefit. I planted a garden for many years. Every year I say I'm not going to. Next year and every year I do. Sometimes it seems like with these Ohio springs it takes forever for that seed to germinate. It'll start growing. We'll get a cold spell. And it seems like it'll take forever for those shoots to get any higher. But I'm telling you, if you'll hold on, if you'll wait, there'll come a point you'll come in from looking at the garden and say to your family, it grew overnight. I can't get over how it grew. I'm telling you, you're new to the Lord. You've accepted faith in your heart. Maybe you're at that point. It seems to be going so slowly. Nothing seems to be changing. You're ready to give up. I tell you, no matter how insignificant it seems, don't you give up. God is going to put growth in that. And one day you'll be able to say, I can't believe how I grew overnight. The blessing grew overnight. What was Jesus driving at? Let's look at that. Amen. The point is, the seed does not remain small. It grows. The contrast is between the smallness of the seed and the plant that began from that seed and the size the plant becomes through the process of growth. What was Jesus driving at? Two things. Number one, Jesus was talking about this. The mustard seed was the beginning of the church in this world. The beginning of the church in this world. I'm telling you, the church began small, but look at it today. Number two, what is the mustard seed? The mustard seed is faith in the heart of the individual believer. The faith, your faith is the mustard seed in your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 17 and 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So the kingdom of God is expressed both within the heart of the individual believer, and the kingdom of God is also in the life of the church in the world. The kingdom of God is a mustard seed. Externally is on a large scale. Externally, it's the church in the world. But internally, the kingdom of God is faith in the heart of man. Oh, and in both those cases, God said the church is a mustard seed and your faith is a mustard seed. Not just a mustard seed, but a mustard seed that's going to grow. Not only is the church going to grow in the world, you are going to grow in faith. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Jesus was right. Look how small the church began. How small was the church when it began? Listen to me. I'll tell you how small the church was when it began. It was as small as that microscopic conception in the womb of Mary when the Word became flesh. That's how small the church began. It's as small as a little backwater town in Palestine called Nazareth. It's as small as a tiny country you can't hardly see unless you have a huge globe, a tiny country called Israel. It's as small as his meager band of disciples that he collected. It was so small it began, amen, with 11 disciples. But oh, it began to grow. Hallelujah. Began with 11 disciples, but there's 120 in the upper room. And before the day of Pentecost is over, there's 3,000 more being added to the church. And they tell us before that revival was over, there were 25,000 in the church of Jerusalem. And then by foot, by boat, by animal, they began to take this gospel. And in 35 years, it went over the then known world of the Roman Empire. And now, 2,000 years later, there's over 2 billion Christians that began from the smallness of the conception and Mary's womb. Oh, it's a mustard seed, the growth of this church. Hallelujah. Brother Jim beat me to it. I already had jotted down what a wonderful example of the mustard seed growth is the Helfenstein family. He testified about it. He testified about it Wednesday night. One lady with 5 well-mannered children came to church. One lady, one mom responded to the gospel and got saved. And then her 5 children got saved. And they married saved. And now there's grandchildren and great-grandchildren that are in the house of God, working in the church, working in the kingdom. Oh, it is a mustard seed. I'm telling you, every parent ought to think about that. Amen. If you'll serve God, no telling what God can do in your family, the growth that he can give. Amen. You're young people right now. You may not be married, but you need to think right now, if I'll serve God, I can have the kind of marriage, a kind of home, amen, he has for me. And my family may not serve the Lord, and my grandparents may not, but he can take the mustard seed that I am. Hallelujah. And it can grow like the Helfenstein family. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is a marvelous thing. We need to get a hold of the kind of growth that God can give. Amen. Why is there this reference to the birds? I'm not going to go too far in this, but you can go to Daniel. When Nebuchadnezzar had his vision, and he is the leader of the empire of the world that encompasses many nations, and he had a vision of a tree that was so large that the birds came and lodged in its branches. And the interpretation is, you and your empire are that tree, and many nations will come unto you and be encompassed by you. And that picture of Nebuchadnezzar's empire, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke to the Jews of the coming Messiah who would be a tree. Oh, he began just as a root, unpleasant to look upon, just the root of Judah, the root of David. Amen. He began just as a root, but our Lord has become, our Messiah has become a mighty tree. And as every kind of bird came and found lodging in its branches, they've come from every nation, they've come from every tongue, they've come from every background, they've come from every place of this world, and they have found lodging in the tree of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. What growth he can bring from a mustard seed. Hallelujah. God never meant for the message of the gospel to profit and stay among only a few blessed individuals. Hallelujah. Only a few people where everybody is the same. He meant his gospel to grow until it included those of every nation, every kind of every person. The act of believing Jesus as Lord and Savior may seem such a small thing to you. You may not have yet done it. You may have done it. And now it begins to look really small. The morning you came and prayed, you say, that's just such a small thing what I did. Amen. Accepting Christ as Savior, it may look small, but if you will believe, he will bring growth growth in your life, and that grace will begin to grow, and that love will begin to grow, and that holiness will begin to grow, and what was just began as a small part of your life will take over your life and grow, and you'll be amazed of the growth that'll come from your believing. You'll be amazed at one day what you've grown into because you believe God and He brought the growth into your life. Amen. Growth is all of an organism, like a plant, like us. Growth in an organism is always a matter of the multiplication of cells. I want you to know this morning that God is the God of taking the small and insignificant and using it to do a great thing. Our God is the God of multiplicity. I mean, you could begin your way through the Bible. He took a rod of one man, Moses, and led a nation out of bondage and into a promised land. He took the sling and a stone of one little shepherd boy and killed a giant and built an empire. He took a pitcher with just a little oil and filled every vessel in the house and paid for the freedom of the woman's sons. He took just a little flour at the bottom of the barrel and fed three people throughout a famine. Amen. He took five loaves and two fishes and fed a multitude. I'm telling you, our God can take just a little and do great things. He can take one verse, John 3:16, and save a whole tribe in Africa, a whole neighborhood in America. I'm telling you, God can take a mustard seed and bring a plant out of it. Hallelujah. He can take one sinner's prayer and save a whole family. Oh, hallelujah. So what should we do? How are we going to respond to this parable? I want to begin again with we believers. I want to talk to you as an individual believer this morning. Your faith may really seem small, but hold on to it. Your faith can grow. Peter had little faith, and yet he walked on the water. I've wondered about that for many years. How did he walk on the water when he had little faith? Because when he saw Jesus and Jesus bid him come, that little faith grew. Amen. Your faith may seem small. You may have reverses. Your job situation may be iffy. You may have big problems in your family. But I want to tell you, if you got just a little faith, hold on to it. It's going to grow. Amen. Hallelujah. Hold on to what little hope you have, what little faith you have. Feed it with the word. Water it with prayer. Amen. Fertilize it with the fellowship of fellow believers, and it'll grow. Amen. Secondly, believer, your hope may seem to be so little in the face of what you face. I mean, you've just about lost hope. You've got just one shred of hope left. I'm talking about your Bible hope. Your hope may seem to be so little in the face of what you face. Hold on to it. That hope can grow. Hallelujah. Amen. Your strength, believer, your strength may seem so small compared to your weakness. Your strength seems so small and compared to your weakness. But you seek God in your strength. It's going to grow. And then last of all, or I got a few more things here, but your desire to serve God may seem so little compared to the temptation that you're in. But if you'll hold on to God, your desire for Him will grow. Peter got this lesson. He heard this parable, and Peter said in chapter 3 of his second epistle, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." I'm telling you, that's what God will do. He'll help you to grow in grace, to grow in knowledge. You may have began with just a little seed, but hold on and let it grow. Last of all, your attempt, believer, to share the gospel may seem so little. Your attempt to share the gospel may seem so little, but go ahead, amen, and share the gospel. God will water it. God will feed it. You got an unsaved spouse. You've got an unsaved child. You work with unsaved people. You're in an unsaved neighborhood. Your little effort to share the gospel, amen, may seem so little, but look at it as a mustard seed that God has put it in the heart of the unsaved. And your effort may seem so small, but God will bring growth. Then I'd say to the unbeliever, Maybe it's only a little light that's getting through, just a small ray of light getting through. Let it in. It may be small, but God will follow it with the full sun. Hallelujah. I say to you, unbeliever, it may be just one phrase of God's word that grips your heart and grabs your heart. Even grasp hold of it. God can use that word to grow and save your soul. The hope when you hear the preaching of the word may be just a little bit of hope that you too can be saved. Your family can be saved. It may be just a little hope that rises up. Amen. But go ahead and believe. Believe it, and God will cause it to grow. I'd say to the unbeliever to call on Jesus may seem but a feeble cry. You say, my effort to call on Him, it's such a feeble cry. But I'm telling you, however small your cry may seem, go out and go ahead and cry out to Him. He's going to hear it. Look what will come out of your cry. Hallelujah. He'll answer. Amen. Amen. Hold on to what you have and what God is doing. He'll bring growth. And then I'd like to say to the church, last of all, what should we do? We need to keep the faith. I believe we as Union Road, the church here, God's church here at Union Road, I believe we can grow numerically and spiritually. Amen. And I believe true numerical growth is spiritual growth. Amen. And true spiritual growth is numerical growth. I'm talking about growing the tree from the mustard seed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I got to preach it. I don't know if we ever show the difference there. It's too hard to go back. Did we show them the mustard tree from that one little seed? Amen. If you can't show that frame from that one little seed, there it is. There's the huge mustard herb. It grows a lot larger there in the tropical and subtropical climate of Palestine. Amen. But I believe God can take what we are. I believe He can bring growth. I believe God's interested in that. How do I know we can grow? Because number one, God desires growth. He never meant for us to have an attitude. Me and you, we four, no more. He never meant for us to have the attitude. Those just like us, those from our own background. He meant for us to continually to have the attitude. God help us to grow until birds of every kind, birds from every direction, come and find lodging and rest and provision and protection within the bowels of the church. We can grow because God desires that we can grow, because there is power in this word to bring life and growth. Listen, a church growing is not in a program. A church growing is not in a specific a technique. Amen. I'll tell you, the only thing we need to grow is to share this word. Share it there at school. Share it in the workplace. I'm telling you, this is a living thing. Oh, this is the seed of God. Hallelujah. It's God. Life. And if we'll share it, amen. And again, you may think it's just a little seed, but if you'll share it, it'll grow into a full conversion. Hallelujah. It'll grow into a full turning to the Lord. It'll grow to the fullness of someone finding Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We can grow. God desires to grow. There's power in the word. And last of all, there are those who are looking for life. They're tired of the deadness of their heart. They're tired of their whole life shriveling up. They can see what it does to them. They can see what it does to their family. They know they don't have what it takes. Hear me. There are those that's looking for the good news of this word. They're looking for this mustard seed. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want us to believe it, church. They're at work. They're in your neighborhood. They're in your family. They are ready for this word. They're looking for life. And I'm telling you, the word of God is life. Hallelujah. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's what he said. For those that receive the seed, would you come, music? So I believe God wants to give growth. I believe that every Sunday school class can grow. I believe the children's church classes can grow. Amen. I believe the youth department can grow. I believe the middle age in the middle room can grow. I believe the senior saints. I'm talking about people can grow. Hallelujah. Why? Because we got the mustard seed. Hallelujah. We got the word of God that brings growth. And people are looking and people are hungry for that. Amen. What God does for us in the house of God, when we feel his blessings, when his spirit moves, what God does for us in the house of God, he does it so we could grow like a tree that shoots out a limb into our home, shoots out a limb into our workplace, shoots out a limb into our neighborhood, and invites birds from all around to come and find a nesting place in the grace and the peace of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many believes in the mustard seed miracle? Hallelujah. Yes, the church, but in us as individuals. You say, Pastor Hurst, I feel like I have so little spirituality in my heart. I feel about this much spiritual, half the thickness of a human hair. That's how spiritual I feel. Oh, just come. Hold on to that. Don't let go. Come, let God water it. Let God speak to you. Spend time in his presence. And I'm telling you, that thing will begin to grow. I believe in growth. I don't believe in getting saved and staying the same. I believe you get saved, that's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing. That's a relief. But once you get saved, I believe there's a God that will bring growth in your life. You'll grow in wisdom. You'll grow in knowledge. You'll grow in faith. You'll grow in hope. You'll grow in strength. Hallelujah. He's a God that brings growth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Not long back, I read a book about the history of Niagara Falls. Thought we were going there. We never made it. But after years of traipsing hundreds of miles through the wilderness to see that site, they realized that they could cut off hundreds of miles if they could build a bridge across Niagara River below Niagara Falls. There's only one problem. How do you get from one side to the other? The banks are such steep cliffs that nobody can climb up and down. You can't do it by boat because the rapids are so swift. Every boat that tries it is broken to pieces. And one man, a non-engineer, had an idea. He said, make it a contest. A contest? Yeah, what kind? Get the kids to bring the kites. And tell them the first kid that can fly a kite to the other side gets $10. I don't know, that'd be like maybe $300 now. First kid that does it. Many tried. I forgot how old he was, but one kid, Holman Walsh, if I remember his name correctly. Holman Walsh, one day he went out there and flew his kite. That little old kite, string tied to it. He flew it to the other side. They took that kite's string, it was so small, and they tied some larger twine to it and used the string to pull the twine over. And then they used the twine to pull over a small rope. And then they used a small rope to pull over a larger rope. And then they used a larger rope to pull over a small cable. And then they used a smaller cable to pull over a large cable. And before it was over with, they had strung the cables that hung the spans of that bridge. And it all began, that mighty bridge that was there, it all began with one small kite string, seemingly insignificant. A kite flown by a kid, by all means. I got to thinking about that. Amen. The devil would like, he would like to belittle what God has done in your life. He'd say, look how small it is. I mean, it's as small as a kite string. But I'm telling you, my God that can put a kite string in your life. Amen. It's not long if you've got the kite string, here going to come the twine. And it's not long after the twine, here comes the smaller rope. And it's not long after the smaller rope, here comes the larger, here comes the cable, and then there's a mighty bridge of faith. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, our God is a God of growth. Despise not the day of small things and small beginnings. Amen. Give it to God and let God bring growth wherever you're at. Hold on to the faith you have, and my God will bring growth. Could you stand and thank him for what kind of God we serve? Would you worship him? Oh, come on, let's worship him across the building. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. You here this morning, you're an unbeliever. You got the smallest, just the smallest glimpse, the smallest glimpse of light this morning. Go to that light. Our God is a God of growth. He'll bring the full sun into your life. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know how to give an altar call for this. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll just say this. If we'd be honest this morning, believer, unbeliever, but God's work in your life seems so small today. You're just being honest. Maybe your faith seems so small. Maybe your hope seems so small. But oh, you desire for the growth of God in your life. You desire for God to bring growth. I want to open these altars right now for those that like to come and say, oh, God, bring spiritual growth. May my faith grow. May my hope grow. May my strength grow. Oh, may my wisdom in you grow. May my desire for you grow. Oh God, I don't want to turn back. I want to grow. I want to grow. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These altars are open for all. Would you come? Would you come and say, oh God, bring growth in my life.